committee. As chairman of the executive committee, that falls to me. As members of the Board of Regents, each of us stands in a fiduciary relationship with Western Kentucky University. As you know, that means a position of trust. That relationship imposes on each of us the duty to always act in the best interest of the university. Our bylaws provide that the executive committee shall make a recommendation to the entire board regarding the president's contract. We know that education is a collaborative effort. There are many individuals who play significant roles in that effort. But our president's contribution, due in large part to his unmatched leadership abilities, cannot be overstated. We have negotiated a new proposed contract with the president. There's been give and take on both sides. You have before you the final draft of that proposed contract. At my direction, the board's attorney supplied you with that draft and supporting documentation indicating what other schools of like size, location, so forth were paying, and well in advance of today, in order that you had plenty of opportunity to go through that and review it and provide any feedback. We believe that President Caboni has been and continues to be a tremendous leader for WKU. His dedication, commitment, and untiring efforts are evident in the success we have seen in student retention, graduation rates, and fiscal responsibility. We commend him for his efforts and accomplishments. President Caboni is doing an exceptional job for our university. We want to continue this work with him. Therefore, considering our fiduciary responsibility, it is the unanimous opinion of the executive committee that the best interest of the university would be served by entering into this new contract with President Caboni. I'll entertain such a motion. Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Would this be a good time for about a 5-minute break? Maybe. Let's take 5 minutes. The next item on the executive committee is executive item number 2. Ms. Anderson.
I'll take both items collectively to discuss if that's okay with you, Chair Milliken, and then you can vote on them individually if that suits.
Sure.
These are both compliance-related items stemming from the passage of House Bill 4 by the General Assembly in March of this year. The first deadlines that we have under House Bill 4, which will become law later in the month, the deadlines are June 30th, and both of those relate to board action. I am seeking the board's approval of a new policy for institutional viewpoint neutrality that has some anti-discrimination language based on an individual's political or social viewpoint and promotes intellectual diversity within the institution. As you may recall, last summer we did some work on the university's free speech policy, and that webpage with the free speech policy and other information contained a brief statement of viewpoint neutrality. We've expanded on that statement and include anti-discrimination language. The second item is a resolution for the board. The board is charged under House Bill 4 with ensuring compliance with the House bill. This resolution would delegate authority to the president and the general counsel's office to continue to reach and maintain compliance with the House Bill 4.
Any discussion, comments? Then we'd entertain a motion to approve the viewpoint neutrality policy. Let's do it individually.
Please.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. Need a motion.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of approval of the viewpoint neutrality policy, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Next item is approval of resolution on Kentucky House Bill number 4. Do I have a motion for that approval?
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any comments about that? If not, all approved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Motion carries.
Thank you.
The next item is an information item. Chris Cavone.
Chair Milliken, thanks so much. As you all well know, we've had some shifts in our housing availability over the past several weeks, and I wanted to provide the board both with an update on the short-term strategy and remediation work that we're going to be doing, but also a longer-term conversation that we're going to have along with the Student Life Foundation and potential national partners. We have two good friends of the university here, Ryan and Julian, who work with B&D, a national consulting firm, who have a long relationship with the Student Life Foundation, but also have a long relationship with the university, who will be working with us going forward. And in a moment, I'll let them introduce themselves and talk about our work to come, but I want to first provide you with a bit of an update on where we are today. So as you know, on May 16th, the Student Life Foundation made several announcements, including the decision to bring down Hilltopper Hall, the temporary closures of Regents and Normal Hall based on an engineering assessment, and some shifts we had to make in our housing assignments for the fall semester. I want to thank everyone with the Student Life Foundation and our university for their hard work to get us to a place where we were well able to mediate and mitigate any challenges to our first year class. What we know is that folks, because they were shifted to upper class residence hall and non-communal and non-pod style living arrangements, we've seen no negative effect in the first year class to date. We've managed to mitigate costs for those who were concerned about potentially moving to a higher cost facility, and we managed to bring online what is now known as Center Hall, formerly the Hyatt Place, for a short-term intervention. And I appreciate that every student to a T that we've talked to is not just okay with, but has really been excited about the reinvestment we've made in housing, the renovations that will happen over the summer, and the work to make sure that they're able to remain in their living learning communities and experience the support that HRL and the Student Life Foundation provides for them. And so we really know that we're going to take those two facilities offline for this year and work to remediate them. But this is a larger challenge for our institution. And so a large challenge requires an even bigger solution. And there have been long-standing conversations at this university about how it is we might transform residence life. And as difficult and challenging as the current circumstances are, we're going to use this as an opportunity to accelerate the conversations and focus on the future of housing at this university and how we will transform the residential experience for our students during the next decade by thinking in a broader, more intentional, and more exciting way. So to continue planning for the continuity of operations and the future of housing, we've enlisted the help of Brailsford and Dunleavy, B&D for short. You're going to hear that a lot during the next several months and years. They're a planning and development advisory firm, and we have a long relationship with them. We've been actively engaged in conversations with them since we knew the possibility of bringing those two residence halls offline might happen. And so we're going to work together to explore what the new type of model might work best for WKU in terms of housing. We have a lot of work to do. We're going to do this in concert with the Student Life Foundation, who has been a trusted and long partner for the university. So you know we have aging housing units across campus, and this is going to require us thinking differently about how we do housing at WKU. It's one that's going to allow us to be more aggressive in the marketplace and more competitive with overlap institutions. Our students have different expectations than they had years ago, and our students coming in today are different than the ones pre-pandemic. And so we're going to pivot to a complete transformation in the next generation of student housing at the university. And we're going to do it through a more modern management agreement and maintenance model that will work to allow us to elevate the standard of living for every student and to do the competitive work that's done today as an institution. And so I want to make clear to our students, to our alumni, to our faculty and staff, everyone internally, that going forward, we're going to have to think differently about our model. That doing this with only housing revenue is not going to be possible. And so what we're going to work through is the additional debt service that might be necessary for us to deliver this housing that current and future students expect. How do we eliminate the community housing that really is not much in demand by students who are prospective university undergraduates? And we're going to completely reconceptualize housing at WKU. And we're going to identify a national partner to join us and the Student Life Foundation to transform all housing on our campus to make sure that we remain competitive. Now, we believe the best way to do this is with that national partner and a public-private partnership. And so B&D, Student Life Foundation, and the university are going to work together to consider what that model might look like and who these national partners might be to deliver at the scale that this is going to require. Now, these conversations will evolve over time. The relationship between the university and the Student Life Foundation will evolve over time. The initial work is a three-phase plan. We'll walk you through some of that. But essentially, the first phase will be a renovation and remediation of Regents and Normal Hall to take place over the next year or two. The second phase will be a completed first-year village, replacing Hugh Poland and Douglas Keene Halls. A third phase will be the replacement of McCormick, Rhodes Harland, and Gilbert Halls in the Valley with an upperclass and sophomore village, building upon the work that happens in those living and learning communities in the first year. So longer term, we will eliminate every community housing option on our campus so that students will select from hotel style, suite style, pod style housing. A complete reimagining of the relationship between students, their living community, and the academic life of our institution. But we're not just going to upgrade the housing. We're going to do it in such a way that ensures we maintain affordability and our access mission. We have to create options for our applicants and prospective students who are comparing us against institutions who've done this work. And so what may be a bit of a competitive disadvantage for us today will become a competitive advantage during the next decade. I want to pause, and even through these challenging times, the Student Life Foundation, Brad Howard, the chair of that board, is here, has been a valuable partner for WKU for more than 2.5 decades. And I appreciate their support and investment in these discussions, ensuring that we can invest in our current facilities to navigate the near-term challenges while also supporting what is an ambitious, long-term plan to transform WKU housing. A large challenge requires an even larger solution, and we're going to do that at this university. And so with that, we have partners who are working on getting their presentation online. I vamped for about as long as I can vamp. Julian, are we close? If not, I will let Ryan do the introductions, and then we'll go.
I can go. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to be here with you all, and thank you, President Kimoni, for that really great intro and setting the table in the context of kind of what we're talking about. And it really is about the long-term vision and transformational initiative to improve the residential experience at WKU, and how does that align with student success, enrollment goals, student affordability, access, you know, the impact on the academic focus of the institution as well. As Dr. Pony mentioned, we've been working over the past several months really determining what is that the right long-term model and approach to implement this plan. We'll go through a little bit of kind of the initial ideas related to the phasing, which is going to evolve a little bit over time. But ultimately, we do believe there's options that do exist in the marketplace. We work nationally with very comparable institutions that are similar sized and dealing with similar challenges, but really we've been working through what is the right solution for WKU, a customized model and option, and make sure that we are, you know, going the objectives were set forth by the president. So what, a little more detail, kind of what are we looking at? What is this strategy? Again, long term, we know there's a lot of short term initiatives and planning and projects that are going to be going on, remediating some of the challenges that have been discussed. But long term, as President Cimodi mentioned, we're looking at a phased approach to, you know, ultimately finding a partner to replace not only community style, but really the facilities, the residential facilities that are not meeting student needs for a variety of factors, right? They're not in demand, they're not what they're expecting, today's students, future students. There's major deferred maintenance, there's issues related to kind of just the experience that students have in those communities. So number one, the strategy is how do we come up with a plan to replace those facilities over time, and do it in a way that can be, implemented without major disruptions to campus operations and those residents. Longer term as well, we're thinking about not just the buildings that are going to be replaced, but making sure that there is a plan to reinvest in all their existing assets that will remain, right? So determining the appropriate operations and maintenance, not only of existing assets, but future assets. So really kind of this detailed capital improvement strategy that we make sure, you know, the money is there, the plan is there to make sure that the facilities are, you know, kept up in a highly sustainable manner and again, alignment with student demands. How do we pay for this is, something we'll be exploring and have started to think about. Ultimately, the financing approach, our initial assumptions is a third-party financing type arrangement. There's a lot of different nuances to that conversation, but we'll be exploring that in further detail as we move forward. And then I'll just touch on kind of what is kind of the institution's responsibilities, roles, and our understanding, obviously, what are we going to maintain control over moving forward? I think number one really key is, you know, the overall student life, student experience, student-facing aspects of the residential environment is really key because we know it's a key part of the academic mission of the institution and just the overall recruitment message that goes out to students with the live-on requirement and kind of how does it tie into the future of campus. And obviously being a partner, the institution being a partner to this third party, approving the plan and making sure there is a clear understanding and alignment of interest there of what comes next and what are the projects and what makes sense, again, for the institution. So I'll just touch on real quickly what are we looking for ultimately in a partner. Number one, I think it's his national expertise that they bring to the table where they implemented comparable type projects, on-campus housing facilities, designing, building, financing, operating, maintaining comparable institutions, proven success in doing so. Really being a collaborative partner, again, as I mentioned, in determining the planning so that we are, you know, key stakeholders and what is ultimately proved and move forward. The commitment to student experience, again, as I touched on, student success, student affordability, obviously there's a key metrics that have to be accounted for, and so we're going to be really laser focused on that when we move forward. And really this comprehensive approach, how do we think holistically, not only about a first phase project, one project, but
what is the long-term vision and how do we implement that vision and moving, you know, as quickly as possible, I'd say, without compromising quality or making uninformed decisions. So we really kind of want to take advantage of private sector expertise to do so. And I'll pass it over to Julian, who's going to go through a little more detail on kind of what is this initial phasing look like and how did we arrive on this.
Sure. Thank you, Ryan. It's a privilege to be here today to walk through this plan. I think before I dive into it, I'll just mention two important considerations. First, this is a conceptual plan, so we expect that over time, the sizing, the siting, and the program for each of these projects is likely to be triangulated around various factors which will evolve over time. One of those is the conditions that are currently ongoing in Regents Normal and Hilltopper. So that affects the amount of bed capacity that exists on campus today, and that affects how quickly we can move, where we can site new projects, and you know, what kind of scale we need in order to advance this. It also is informed by student demand over time. So as the housing program and housing system evolves, attitudes among the student body have the potential to change, as well as enrollment. So I'll just note that to say that as we determine this alongside the university and a potential partner, the sizing, siting, and phasing is subject to change, but at a high level, we wanted to discuss it in this way. And the real reason behind that is really grounded in the same principles that WKU has pursued with its housing system upgrades and changes over the past 10 years. So as President Gaboni mentioned, we've been a longtime partner of WKU, and you know, then we knew it was advantageous for the institution to provide a world-class first-year experience that allows it to compete better, to really be shoulder to shoulder with its near peers. And then we also knew that in order to drive retention, student success, having quality second year options is highly important. So what this phasing plan begins with is the projects that the SLF is undertaking today. And that includes the demolition of Hilltopper Hall, renovation and renewal of Regents and Normal, the scoping for which is currently ongoing. And the thought is, once this is completed, we will understand a little bit more about the scale of the site for this second phase, which is likely to be a very large investment in first-year housing in the first-year village. The halls that we are targeting here for replacement, these have been long-term targets for the university. They generally have the lowest satisfaction, the highest number of issues, and generally a unit type that is somewhat out of date and is less desired by students overall. So the first two are Douglas Keene and Hugh Poland. The goal of that, of course, is to deliver a compelling first-year experience. And then the sizing of it is really intended to not only replace the capacity in those buildings, but then also allow us to think very big about the valley in the third phase. So we know that Hilltopper is going to come down, and that McCormick, Gilbert, and Rhodes Harlan have been long-term targets for replacement at the university. So the goal then would be, once this new first-year project comes online, take a look at, on that site, or potentially even looking more broadly, what new options can be offered on upper division students. So that could be sized, up to 1,400 beds, depending again on demand and on the sites that are chosen. But I would note, of course, that all of this is contingent on the capacity demand and on programming as this evolves. We intend this to be a long-term process, and we previewed this with potential partners going forward. It's something that I think does think very big and asks a lot, but we do think there's a path forward here that is financially sustainable and then provides this really high level of transformation over time. On the next slide, I'll talk a little bit about what our timeline looks like. This going back just a little bit. So we have been working now with WKU, with the SLF, for the last few months to determine the parameters around how we're going to develop this collaborative partnership, the phasing plan that I just discussed. the immediate next step is to solicit a partner. So we are beginning in short order with a request for qualifications, request for proposals to be completed over the summer, and then likely in September. The goal there is really to drive competition among potential partners as we move down the line. So we start off with a really broad range of ideas and really ask folks, these are the priorities, this is the phasing plan that you want to face. What are the best mechanisms and thinking you have in order to drive those outcomes? We then would move into a period where we're really determining the parameters around that first phase of investment. So in the fall, when a selected partner is chosen, we're thinking about doing an updated facilities assessment on campus, understanding student demand through a market study, and that's going to be necessary in order to support underwriting of that first project, as well as really understand what is the optimal program of that, this new first project in order to drive WKU's targeted outcomes, those experience. Following that, we intend by the end of the year to have a pre-development agreement in place with the selected partner, and then in spring and winter of 2026, begin a design and pre-construction process that allows us to move forward very quickly on delivering this new product. The precise timing around that first project is going to depend in a great deal on what happens in Regents and Normal. And so we intend this partnership to be a collaborative process where the university is engaged, where the Student Life Foundation is engaged, so we can determine, based on information that comes out in real time, the best path forward. And really the goal of that, right, is to respond quickly and think big. Think of this challenge of facilities as an opportunity. All right.
With that, we'll happy to answer any questions.
I have a question about, so is the public-private partnership, is that model pretty common with university housing?
It is pretty common, and we've worked on, I don't know how many dozens, nationally, but as I said before, there's a lot of different models out there, a lot of different arrangements and ways to do it, but yeah, a lot of institutions have executed these and are continuing to look at them. So there's really a proven track record of successful delivery and operation of P3s. Yeah.
Have any other questions or comments? I know this is all very new to everybody, and this is going to be an evolving process, and everyone will have more questions as time goes on. But does anybody have any questions or comments at this juncture?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I mean, it's like, I think you're taking lemons and making lemonade out of it. This is the most optimistic thing I've heard about this situation. So, I'm excited. It'd be nice to overcome all of the storms.
Well, thank you for this information item. The next item on the agenda is the nominating committee. Regent Brody has been appointed as chairman of that committee, and I'll turn that item over to him.
Thank you, Chair Milken. First, I'd like to thank my fellow committee members, Regents Nichols and Helms, for their work. And the slate that we're presenting is for the 25-26 year. Board Chairperson, Regent Jan West. Board Vice Chairperson, Regent Doris Thomas. Board Secretary, Regent Dr. Melissa Dennison. And Board Treasurer, WKU Executive Vice President, Susan Howard.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That matter will be taken up at our next regular meeting. I draw your attention to the dates, future dates. Be sure you have those on your calendar. Do we have anything else that we need to discuss? Yes, President Bowie.
Chair Milliken did not have an opportunity after the approval and passage of my contract, but I did want to take a moment and just say thank you to the Board of Regents for your vote of confidence in me and the work that we continue to do Casey and I are humbled and privileged to be able to fulfill these roles every day. And we're thankful to be able to continue that work. I'm proud of the accomplishments we've had in a range of experiences, including our student success around retention and graduation rates, our fundraising success, our athletic success, the success in research. But there's a lot of work to do, and that's what I'm most excited about. Going forward, the press toward R2 designation, offering PhD programs, continuing to raise more money for this university, to advance our physical plant and continue to upgrade and improve our facilities, and most importantly, to help our students have a world-class experience that's focused on the undergraduate education that we provide at WKU. And so with that, I thank the board for your continued confidence and look forward to another hard 4 years of good work and additional successes as we move forward. So thank you all.
Very good. Thank you. Does anybody else have anything, any comments that they'd like to make or anything they'd like to say? If there's no further business come forward, meeting's adjourned.